You see the distant flames, they bellow in the night. You fight in all our names for what we know is right. And when you all get shot and cannot carry on, though you die, La Resistance lives on. You may get stabbed in the head with a dagger or a sword. You may be burned to death or skinned alive or worse. But when they torture you, you will not feel the need to run, for though you die, La Resistance lives on.
Closer, welcome to Tales of Wales, the pod that never fails to be the resistance of boredom, the ally against the axis of dire podcasts, the old Tommy Soldier against the horrible little Nazis of truth, or I don't know.
you added to the end there. I thought it was pretty good for an off-the-cuff one, though.
Very off-the-cuff, because we're in a rush, aren't we, mate? We're in a bloody old
when
rush.
Are we not these days, mate? Yeah. We're under the cosh, always yeah. under the cosh.
Do you know what? I love the word.
Like resistance soldiers themselves, mate. Exactly. Always threats looming.
Do you know what? I really like it when someone says, put the kibosh on that. I love that.
Love saying kibosh. That's a good word to say.
Oh, well, no, the missus put the kibosh on that.
Yeah. I hope no one puts the kibosh on a say and puts the kibosh on stuff. Because that, I love it.
Absolutely. Don't really know what the kibosh is. It sounds vaguely Russian.
You know, like, yeah, you know, like how it's supposedly the Russian mob has the entire accumulation of wealth is called, like, the Upshak.
Is it? Oh, what's up, Shaq?
Yeah, something like
nothing.
That.
What's up with
Shaq?
You?
Exactly, yeah. And it sounds like one of those, oh, don't put the kibosh on the up, Shaq. We'll all be skint.
Yeah. I've never heard of the Russian mob money. It's called the up, Shaq.
You've seen Nobody, haven't you? Yes, you've seen it. The Russians are the mob, haven't you? You've seen Nobody, haven't you?
Yeah,
the old
yes.
man who's like, what's man loving, and looking for a scrap. He says it in that, oh, it's the Obshack, maybe. Yeah. Obshack, Obshack.
That film isn't something you really pay attention to, though, is it? It's more you just watch
no,
the old man.
I can't go deep on the lore of the film Nobody, because it's all I was doing is watching Bob Odenkirk batter people and get battered in turn.
Yeah.
And it was bloody well
worth
it.
But it was quite fun, though, wasn't it?
It was a good film. It's a good flick. Go on. You got something to say?
Oh, well, I was just going to say.
Didn't mean to say that so aggressively.
I was going to say we got new Patreon tiers, which I want us to mention.
The launch. Lanciad. Yeah.
So should I mention them now? Because we've got to, like, we're at the 12-month mark now. So, obviously, we've got new tiers because we've run out our old tiers. So people who were like had been a Patreon for long enough that they're now not really getting an awful lot more for their higher tier system. So we're fixing it. All right. Give us a moment. Yeah. So currently, if you pay the top £10 tier, you get two episodes a month plus personalized artwork after the first month. And then after 3 months, you get a dedicated episode to your hometown.
Then after 6 months,
we turn you into a Welsh legend. And we make a Mad Benogion story based on some facts you give us. So you give us some info. Yeah. We turn you into a bloody laugh. And they seem to go down really well. And now we're thinking at the 12th month mark, we give you a T-shirt. So
freebie, a free bit of merch.
Yeah, I mean, you are paying. I hate it when they say
I mean, it's
free.
Not free. Cause, yeah,
it's like when they say, oh, it's free on Game Pass, like on the Xbox service. Like, no,
I pay for Game Pass.
Yeah, pay for Game Pass, you pig.
Yeah, so sorry, I retract that statement. It's not free. You paid for it. You paid for it and some, probably, if you've been with us a year. But it's a token of our appreciation.
Well, no, it sounds shit.
It's not shit. It's just, you know, if you've been with us a year, you've given us a few quid.
I hate the way you market anything. And also,
I'm trying to be honest, the honest salesman. It ain't that great, but you know.
Yeah. Look at us fucking infighting.
We can't do sales, man. Ever since we fucking started the Patreon, we've absolutely butchered, like,
people,
trying to sell this.
People pay for the pod because they're very supportive, which is amazing. And what we want to do then is give back to those who support keeping this going. So we try and think of little incentives. So 12-month mark, you get a T-shirt of your choice from the Tales of Wales merch. And then at the 18-month mark, we do a Patreon episode on a topic of your... Oh, hang on. 15-month mark, we make a Family Shield crest for you.
A royal... Something to hand down to your heirs, a royal lineage.
We'll say digital, so it's not a physical thing.
Yeah, we're not going to be fucking at the blacksmiths fucking smashing a bit of iron together for a shield. Sorry.
Some iron. Yeah. And then at 18 months, we'll do a Patreon topic on anything of your choice. So that's as much sales as I can fucking handle. And now let me go back to berating you for something else as well before we carry on.
I was going to say, I'm not doing any sad topics this time or anything.
You sabotaged the pod.
Some gross things.
You sabotaged the pod.
Oh, yeah, I know, I know.
A week ago, no, 2 weeks ago.
I am but a man, okay? I'm fallible as the rest of them.
So just so people are aware, when that episode came out where I was trying to carefully choose my words on kneecap, I said to Jack, oh, sorry, can I start again? Can I edit around this? Sorry, Jack, can you wait for a second? And then you left it in and left me look like a fucking pig.
And nasty old Jack went, I'm going to ignore him and completely do it and fucking scream over.
When I re-listened.
It was an accident. I dragged over the wrong file, file pre-edit.
You're a pig.
I apologise.
You're a pig and you hate the pod.
It'll never happen again.
I mean, it will happen
Shame.
Again. It will happen absolutely again.
Well, on a long enough timeline, anything can happen. Okay, so
I listened to that episode. I thought, oh well, I am so ineloquent at trying to describe a movie, or because I love movie podcasts. So I was like, oh, I wonder how I sound when I try and do that. And I was like, I liked the bit when he did that.
You're just full of passion, mate. Right, it's hard to contain.
Yeah, I got two carried away. Yes,
only the first. I don't know what we call it, 100-150 people will have heard that version. So you're probably fine. How the whole world? What's that? Not even a percent.
True. Yeah, we did. Yeah, luckily we fixed it quite quickly. So we but to the early birds who listen at the crack of dawn, thanks for that.
The irony of the people who listen to us first and foremost, we're number one on their listening list. They're like,
worst.
Oh, we get a shitter product than the rest of them. Yeah.
And also. But then, so I thought I was garbage at trying to talk about like films. But then I listened to the next episode where I talked about that game. And I think because I was a bit tired and a bit less energetic, I was more listenable. I was like, oh, actually, I'm not getting too excitable. So that should always be our plan. If we ever want to talk about something cultural,
stay up really
burn out first. Drink 10 pints and really, really get to it.
I was going to say, as if we needed an excuse as well. That's what we do anyway. Oh, you might say, oh, a bit tired. I was on the fucking session again last night.
Well,
oh, we're not actually on the session at the moment, though, are we?
No, it's a lunchtime recording.
Beggar's belief.
And it is gorgeous outside, man. So I'm just fucking so keen for a pint.
We're not on the sesh, but we're gagging to be on the sesh.
And I am on the sesh tomorrow. I'm on a big sesh tomorrow. So
I'm
getting fucking thirsty. And I tried to be mean to Jack earlier. I tried to gaslight him to thinking all of his friends were going out without him. I was like, oh, I'm on all day tomorrow with Josh, Dan, Coxie, Craig, like friends who don't all hang out together to try and make it sound like, oh, why is everyone invited but not me?
It was a big event, yeah.
Yeah. Did you have any inkling in that were you like, why wasn't I invited?
I had a pang of, oh, that's nice. That's really nice. I mean, I can't, because I couldn't go anyway. I got a date day planned with the wife tomorrow. But I was like, oh, yeah, no, I mean, it doesn't really matter. They didn't invite me anyway because I can't make it. But, you know, nice to be thought of, wouldn't it?
Yeah, but I was only teasing because really
I masked it with a message with an emoji at the end.
Yeah,
just like,
the classic
cool.
To soften the blow.
Paste
oh,
over the fucking
nice.
Cracks. Yeah.
But, you know, I'm out with my football team tomorrow and I am absolutely buzzing. Can it
squad.
Yeah, the squad. The squad. Team.
That's what they call them, isn't it? The squad.
The squad. And so where are you going for your Welsh-themed date? Because tomorrow, the time of recording, is Dydd Gwyl Dewi.
Yes. Isn't it? It's rugby tomorrow as well, isn't it?
Don't think so. I think it's off tomorrow.
Is it not? Oh, they missed it. Oh, never mind then.
Yeah. Wait, was that your date?
Oh, yeah. Shit.
Oh, shit.
We've got to go see the rugby. No. I just thought it might be packed in town. But no, I'm doing I tried to find somewhere that was doing like a Welsh-themed or St. David's-themed like afternoon tea, because the wife loves an afternoon tea.
Yeah.
Couldn't really find anything. It's just the generic ones that were around town. So I've opted. I've gone the brave option. Yeah. I'm going to try and make my own afternoon tea with Welsh snacks. So I've got all the ingredients to make some Welsh rarebit.
Yeah,
I'm going to put those onto like little slices, like almost like soldiers, you know, toast soldiers.
I know the time,
so they're like nibbleable instead of like being a big meal. I've got some Glamorgan sausages. I tried to get rissoles, but probably a good thing I couldn't find them in any self-respecting shop because they kind of scattify the thing a little bit, don't they? They like what you get on the end of a night out.
You do get them in butchers. So if you have a local butchers by you, they often will serve nice rissoles.
Think that. But I got some lamb as well.
Yeah.
Some lamb. I'm going to try my attempt at cooking lamb.
Afternoon tea. It's a joint of lamb.
It's going to... It's a rack. And, what else have I got?
Are you eating it in the house?
But those are just, I'm just prepping it in the house with some drinks. I was going to go buy loads of booze and make Welsh themed cocktails as well. Mm. But I can't be asked like buying a fucking bottle of Midori for two drinks.
Yeah.
Like, what's this going to do? Just sit in my cupboard. I'm never going to drink bloody melon liqueur anymore. So yeah. I couldn't be bothered with that. I'm just going to have my Bud Lights and a bit of rum. I got Barty actually in the...
Nice.
The cupboard, so that's Welsh themed. But yeah, I can't remember what else I got now. I got some Scotch eggs, but those are just for me. That's not a Welsh themed thing. It's just a little treat.
Jack loves Scotch egg.
I go gaga for Scotch eggs.
And he'll eat them like bareback, like raw, with no like dip or nothing. And they'll eat them cold.
No other way to do it.
Well, like you know like the ones you get in Tesco's, like the small little tiny ones that are really crummy.
Oh yeah.
And they're really dry. Jack just like lubes up his throat and
starts one's like the size of my fist. I just fucking go ham on those bad boys.
You do love them, don't you? You do love it.
I do love it, don't I? And I think that's everything I got there. What else did I get? Oh, I got some batter brief and some Welsh cakes as well. Lush. First for pudding.
Nice.
Yeah, so not too bad. And then we're going for food cocktails down the Dead Canary.
You love it there
later
don't you?
On. It's a good one. And they've always got Welsh themed stuff.
Yeah,
so they've got like they've still got that theme going at the moment. It's like Welsh chweddles and like myths. Are the themes of their cocktails, so like that syncs up.
This week we're going to discuss the Nazis, who were pretty much the nastiest of all bastards,
famously very nasty boys.
And this is like a bit of a prelude because we've got Luke coming on, who's will be the next guest, who's a TV presenter and social media heartthrob, because he's a big fan of Welsh history, and he is also a big fan of not the Nazis. He's a big fan of the war.
Huge right winger, very anti-Semitic.
He's a big he's really into his history and really into his Welsh history. So we asked him what topic you might like to do, and we discussed World War II, which we were like, oh, we've never done anything about World War II, which is mental. Mm. And in doing so, we found like things that we wanted to do their own independent episodes on. So
we're always uncovering these little troves, aren't we? Like, it's almost like blocking out like the 20th century of history in Wales was a bad move for a history podcast, but who knows? We're correcting it now.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. I mean, the war itself was 6 years, so I'm sure there'll be a fucking ample stories from, and World War One didn't even get started on World War One.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, we like medieval stuff, don't we? So we probably just naturally focused in on like that era.
Yeah,
but yeah. We can spread our wings a little.
So one of the things I researched that fell out of the research I was doing for the episode we're recording with Luke is the secret resistance plans laid for Wales and the UK in case of a Nazi invasion. So they set up these auxiliary units all across Wales, and these were highly secretive, specially trained groups of volunteers who were expected to go underground and carry out sabotage missions behind enemy lines. And as in enemy lines, as in, say, if Cardiff got captured by the Nazis, that would be classed as enemy lines. So they're not heading over to fucking Dusseldorf, you know, these are enemy lines in Britain.
Goddamn Dusseldorf, is it?
Yeah, don't want to go down Dusseldorf. these units were a secret fighting force, and they were classed as Britain's last line of defence. These men were prepared to resist a German invasion to the last, and they were explicitly told that they had to die fighting. They couldn't retreat, even if it put their family and friends in danger. They kind of signed up knowing they would be they're not leaving, and their whole that was
victory
like
or death.
And I'll explain why in a second, but they had to be to have this like brutal mindset, as the Nazis were slaughtering entire villages to deter resistance in occupied Europe. So they were like, right, the Nazis are going to come here, and they're going to, if they do get here, they'll fucking absolutely murder as many people as possible. But if we can set up,
they're not messing about.
Yeah, and if we can set up some pockets of resistance, we can like slow down the invasion, plus show them that Britain is fucking prepared and they're not going to be like walked over. Because people obviously in parts of occupied Europe, they didn't have time to kind of plan this, and this,
yeah, they were like descended upon a bit too quick. Yeah,
and we only did this in 1942, so you know, halfway into the war, and it's when Winston Churchill dog.
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 No, no, not no, dog.
No, bad
sorry,
dog. Yeah.
Yeah,
rat dog. Dog. So in 1942, Winston Churchill's British resistance organisation set up to defend a deadly secret mission. Civilians with intimate knowledge of the countryside and survival techniques signed the Official Secrets Act, pledging them to remain silent for the next 50 years, so not even to their wives and children. So I'll come on to that a bit later on, because there's some stories about like their family having no clue that they were part of this. But then sometimes their wife would find like Tommy guns in their house. And they'd be like, don't
love,
worry about it.
What's this Tommy gun in the garage? Don't you worry, all right? Just tell me about it.
Sheila, get the fuck out of my garage. I told you four times. Right. These resistance cells had hidden bunkers in remote areas like Abergavenny, Banebrycheiniog, Eryri. I can never say Eryri.
It's a mouthful, though.
Eryri.
Eryri.
How would you say?
Yeah, it's easier just. I'd say Eryri.
Yeah.
Eryri. Eryri. Do it bark like a dog. It makes it easier.
Banebrycheiniog or Eryri. Or in English, Banebrycheiniog, Brecon Beacons, or up in Snowdonia. Each county trained teams of around 30 auxiliaries, forming patrols based in these underground operational bunkers, or OBs, with special duty sections secretly trained in guerrilla tactics, unarmed combat and explosives. These patrols were tasked with slowing down any German invasion until Britain's armed forces could regroup and repel them. So the idea would be, say if they did land in Cardiff, or more likely in West Wales or in North Wales, somewhere like that, you could have these things like stopping them getting further into Wales, then stop them getting into England and giving the British army
just slowing them down
and these was they had the absolute best kit available, like even better than the armed forces. So they gave them Thompson submachine guns, Browning automatic rifles, all imported from the US, who were like making these amazing guns. They also handed
the daddy of the gun world.
Those guys fucking love a gun. They were given these Piat anti-tank weapons to thwart Hitler's panzers. So they had you were trained in like long range, short range, anti-tank. They had these solid shot cartridges to replace buckshots for shotguns. So, you know, shotguns fire buckshots.
Oh, is that when they turn them into a slug? So they're just like really high-powered rifles, essentially, like thick bullets.
So fire through cars, fucking eviscerate people. So they had like the best gear. But the covert auxiliaries, they were also trained in like medieval weapons, like crossbows, to give them the advantage in silent killing. So they had like...
That's mental. We've disabled their modern weapons. They all come down with fucking longbows and stuff.
The Welsh are trained in longbows.
We've trained for generations.
They also had like a special .22 sniper rifle with this... or .22. I'm not a gunman, I don't know. With a powerful telescopic sight and a silencer that could either fire high-velocity bullets to extend the killing range or subsonic bullets for virtual silence close-up. So they had like the best gear. They also had the first people to be issued with the sticky bombs, phosphorus hand grenades, and booby traps, like the Switch number 8 AP, known as the Western Desert, as the Castrator.
And those phosphorus hand grenades, are those like illegal now?
Yeah.
Those are war crimes now, aren't they? Yeah, can't use them anymore. Too cruel.
The patrols also received special tyre-busting mines disguised as lumps of coal, gore wheels, or horse manure.
I like to think that was it. When, can you make them look like coal? Well, I mean, it's a lot harder. Make them look like coal.
I won't do it unless it's fucking coal. I went a bit chorty then, man.
You can stuff your resistance if you're not making it look like coal, right?
Or horse shit. And they also had up to half a ton of high explosives. So they had all the gear with them.
Like you said, the wife's doing a bit of spring cleaning in the garage, all this shit is here. Like, what are you doing with coal? Don't touch the coal, Lev. It's dangerous.
And for like reference, if you think like half a ton, how to measure that, 2 pounds explosive could destroy buildings and kill dozens. So they were given half a ton's worth. So they could take out fucking units. They had all the fuses, timers, grenades, ammunition, and they would store them in these underground operational bases or these hidden caches. And if Operation Sea Lion, which was Germans' World War II plan to invade the UK, had been successful, these guerrillas, their first duty was to kill the local police chief to ensure they hadn't tortured into giving away secrets. So they were trained to kill fucking Bobby Dye, just like, you know, their local officer.
Having a pint with the Bobby on the beat on day one. Day two, sorry, mate, I gotta put an end to your life.
You hear the fucking, the echo of an SS jackboot, and you're like, oh, I'm sorry, mate, I'm going to have to fucking garrote you.
A firework goes off, and you just fucking smash a pint glass over his head. It's my orders.
And they were also explicitly told that they had to fight to the death rather than surrender, so they weren't expected to ever be rescued. And they were told,
it's like Japanese style, that, isn't it? No death, no glory.
There's like a film called like Resistance with Michael Sheen in it, and I think that covers aspects of this. So it's another thing to add to our film list, which I think would be really interesting for us to do. And it covers like a lot of them at the time were kind of ostracized for looking like they were like, well, actually, I'll read the quote here from Abergavenny Museum curator Rachel Rogers. So they said many of these auxiliaries were given a really hard time during the war by people assuming they were just too cowardly to fight, when in fact they were incredibly brave and prepared to sacrifice everything. And Tom Sykes of Coles Hill Auxiliary Research Team, he said they should have been honoured. It seems like our unsung heroes will just disappear into the night, because they signed this Secrets Act for 50 years, so they never got to tell anyone. And in this museum, in Abergavenny Museum, they have a bunch of quotes and family stories saying like they had no idea about this, about their dads and granddads doing this.
I would say, wouldn't it, like the general population would kind of look at you and think, oh, draft dodger type thing or something like that. And you can't even when the war was done, you couldn't say, oh, by the way, anything. I was like fucking the last line of defense this entire time. You have to wait until, either you're dead or 50
and
years.
And I suppose they probably had to sign it for 50 years because, you know, World War II happened not that long after World War I, so they're probably thinking, hey, this war might come back again. So if you tell people your secrets, if someone, 20 years later, the exact same thing happens again, you'd be like, oh, shit.
Hedge our bets in case World War III is pretty soon,
Yeah, so they weren't allowed to tell anybody. So, that's the story of the secret resistant plans in Wales, which I'd never heard of. And like that quote at the end says, these stories will die unless they're told. And, you know, as much as we're anti-war...
That's interesting, man. It sounds a bit like a Tom Clancy thing, you know, like when like a secret agent is just living a normal life and then they get like, I don't know, their watch flashes and it's like, oh, they've been activated as like a covert agent this entire time. It's like a sort of more primitive version of that.
Well,
I guess, like
everything I read literally said, these are stories from James Bond, you know, like the handbook of James Bond. Who wrote it? Who wrote James Bond, Arthur?
Ian Fleming,
yeah. It feels like all stuff out of there, like, you know, everything is hidden. So you have all these secret little mountain bases that you push a button, you can head down to. You have like gadgets that look like things. So you can't let anyone in the community know. So
you've got
gadgets
on like the real fringe of technology and stuff like that for the time. And it's cool. It's weird that it's not a movie made. Do you say that Resistance?
Well,
is that about actual the Welsh guys, or is it like in general type thing?
I don't think it's specifically about Resistance. Let's have a little online search now.
I was just about to say, let's use the Google.
My fucking computer is so bad. Resistance.
It's Martin Sheen you said it was in it, was he?
Yeah. Oh, is that Antoine Rayan? Oh, it is, yeah.
I mean,
oh, mate, we've definitely got to watch
boy,
this.
So...
It's Resistance. It's a 2011 Welsh film directed by Amit Gupta. Yeah. And it's got... Set in a Welsh village. The plot is, after all the women in a remote valley in the Welsh border awaken to find their husbands have left to serve in a covert British resistance, German occupiers arrive in an alternate reality thriller set in 1944, in which D-Day failed and the United Kingdom have been invaded.
It's got Angela Riseborough in it as well. It's got quite a big cast.
It's got a great cast.
Well, by today's standard, maybe in 2011, maybe was Ewan Rayon as big then?
Not at all.
He's not named. No. He's not named on the front there, so I'm assuming.
But he is on the. He's in the cover on the photo.
Yeah.
It looks pretty brutal, actually. Right. Should we watch it?
Look, I've never even heard of that.
Should we put this on our list?
Yeah, we've got to put it on the list. That's weird that me and you would never hear of that. As,
I know.
You know, we're film guys and
Welsh guys.
I say, we're just Welsh boys, a couple of Welsh boys. But, you know, that sounds like
something
that would
definitely
be on our radar.
It's also got Uhtred Son of
Uhtred. It's got Uhtred, man.
It's got Uhtred Son of Uhtred in it. The guy from Last Kingdom?
Yeah. What's his name? He's a German guy, isn't he?
Yeah, Alex. Oh, he's probably playing a bloody Nazi.
Bloody Nazi, isn't he? Bloody Nazi.
Bloody Nazi. Yeah, Nazi.
yeah.
I reckon that we could do that. It's on Prime, go on free of charge. Oh, no, yeah, it's on Prime.
It's not free. Pay for it, mate, as we've
said. Oh, yes. Very good. Very good.
Oh, yes. Hell of a cast.
Hell of a cast.
Hell of a cast.
All right. Should we do that for a little Patreon episode? Review that?
Yeah. It's got to be done. Yeah.
Got to be.
Love it.
All right. So, there you go, pigs.
We'll call it there, is it?
Sorry, I'm in a race.
There you go, you fucking pigs. Yeah, that's what you get.
What more do you want? We didn't do a shout out for the Patreon, but let's do that at the start, because like, I always feel it's nice to do that at the start. And
yeah, we'll do it on the next. We'll catch you on the next one.
Yeah, thanks. Well, actually, we probably will, because the next episode is a guest, and we don't really like to be so braggarty on guest episodes where we talk about money, because we don't pay our guests. I forgot. We have a YouTube channel. It blows my mind, because like, why would you watch this? Because we don't put any like video content up.
Yeah, it's strange, but apparently 10% of all podcasts are listened to on YouTube. That's why we get it. Remember, because we were like, do we need it? And then I remember seeing that stat, and I was like, yeah, let's get one. So all our stuff automatically goes up on there.
Some episodes have like fucking, you know, 10 listeners, but then some have like some have like decent like 100 or whatever. But like. You know, it's still tiny amounts compared to who actually listens to the main episode. But I don't know, it just made me laugh. I was going through yesterday and I saw it, and I was like, well, who's watching this?
Oh, you mean someone sat there with a beer watching an audiogram? Like, ha, this is great. Yeah.
Maybe it's like you can, if you pay for YouTube, you could close your app and it will play in the background.
I think if you've got premium, you can. You can close it and then listen to, like maybe if you're running or going for a walk or something.
Oh, yeah. All right.
Imagine you can do that probably.
Maybe we figured out why. But it just made me laugh, because it was like one of them had like 14 app listeners. So it's like, oh, God, that's grim.
I much prefer like, are you coming around tonight? Yeah, me and the boys are going to watch a new Tales for Wales video on YouTube. And it's just an audiogram like flashing and moving.
All right, then. Should we get the fuck out of here?
Yeah, let's call it there, is it?
I'll speak to you
later.
Cheers
for listening, guys.
See you, different granddad, guys. Love you an awful lot.
Ta-da, 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 ta-da.